Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday afternoon. Still to come, we're going to go through TSN Luke Wilson's fan power rankings. He ranked the fan bases across the Canadian Football League.
Still trying to get him to come on the Green Zone.
I don't know what his deal is. I think we're lovely. But anyways, the Riders are in the top two. Just so you know, they're not first. Second, Winnipeg is number one, of course, in the fan power rankings.
We're going to get into it. I have some thoughts about.
So do I.
Yeah, I'm.
Myself and Farhan Walji and others got into it a little bit because I put the Riders first on my fan power rankings. Maybe biased, maybe not. Darren Bombing might be biased too. Bonfire Sports in Winnipeg also writes for the Jets on NHL.com. Many Winnipeg things to get to, Darren, from Jonathan Toews' return to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers' first loss of the season. And
Never biased, Jamie. Never biased.
Little bit on the Winnipeg side there, Bombing, I think.
When it's Winnipeg versus Regina, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, we're all a little biased, right?
Yes.
We're kissing cousins. We love each other. We love to hate each other.
I don't know if I go kissing cousins far, but, you know, we're prairie family.
I have been enjoying the whoever's in charge of the social media account for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers coming after Jamie Nye every week.
Yeah, what's with that? Who runs their social media account, by the way?
I'll never tell.
Jeez Louise. Pick against the Bombers, and I almost got it right, too, against the Elks. But let's start with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. First off, the fan base, because we're going to get into it. Luke Wilson puts them number one. I get it.
Yep.
But a couple of consecutive sellouts going in Winnipeg. What has it been like to see it grow? Because it wasn't always this way in Winnipeg, Darren. Yep. So what have we seen from a fandom perspective from the Bombers?
Yeah, it's been a re-evolution, right? Many people know that Princess Auto Stadium, Investors Group Field, as it was called for a long time, was built in 2013. And look, they ran into every single problem you could imagine. Construction delays, pouring wet concrete in minus 30 weather. They had to hammer it out. The architectural drawings were incorrect. They had to retrofit. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know how much it costs to put in, sprinkler systems and get it up to fire code. There was single pane windows in a building that was going to hold outdoor events in the winter in Winnipeg. It made no sense. Either way, prior to them building that, the old Winnipeg Stadium, Canadian Stadium as it was called at the time, was getting sellouts. And for playoff games and that sort of thing, they were putting up temporary seating, extra 900 seats, extra 1,000 seats, and they were selling those games out. Things were good. 2011, the team went to the Grey Cup. 2012, well, they ended up firing Paul Appelice before Labor Day. And we remember that Labor Day game. What was it, 52-1?
Nothing. It was a shutout.
Nothing. Okay. I was trying to take 1 point. Give me 1 point. One of my favorite memories, honestly, truly, one of my favorite memories, because a historic day at Taylor Field between the Bombers and the Rough Riders. And then when they opened the new stadium, there was construction in that part of town. It's in a little bit of a pocket in the south side of the city on the University of Manitoba campus. It was a disaster. People came to a game and they said, never again. And it's taken years for president and CEO Wade Miller, former player in this league and an outstanding businessman and what he's been able to do, to get rid of that stigma around it being a nightmare to get in and out of Princess Auto Stadium. Of course, the team winning helps a lot. Winnipeg, similar to Regina, similar to Saskatoon, blue collar, right? Sports drive people's interests, drives the dollar. And a lot of people thought, well, the Bombers are going to struggle. The Jets are back. People are spending $150 a game buying season tickets to see the Winnipeg Jets. And then the playoffs happen, and it pushes deep into the spring, and the entertainment dollars, that disposable income starts flowing out. Will there be any left for the Blue Bombers? Well, what the organization has done to foster the existing fan base, and then attract the new fan base, the young people. Frankly, you look at the Rum Hut, you look at the open concourse, it's like Winnipeg's pill country. It's full of 20-somethings. Maybe they're watching the game, maybe they're not, but they're definitely there buying a ticket, and they're definitely enjoying themselves with some adult beverages. So the revenue is being created, mm-hmm. and the atmosphere has absolutely, it's been an outstanding thing. You can see it on TV. You can see it in person. Yeah. That energy is real. You have a winning product. You mix that in with, fostering the fan base the right way. Hey, Luke Wilson's going to rank you number one.
Darren, the one thing, I spent 6 years in Winnipeg, and I remember being told about the sort of, like, the macro sort of perception of Winnipeggers, and that they were always looking for a discount, and that, you know, anything for free, right? The social environment, right? We're having a social, we're trying to get married for free, right? We're putting the cost on our friend.
Right.
Like, there was always that sort of perception that was, is that still there, or has that kind of been shaken a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's ingrained in our culture, and I don't even think that's a Winnipeg thing. I think that's a Prairie thing. These are, the people that have, grown and their families and even people that have emigrated here in more recent times have grown their family. This is a hardworking, blue-collar part of the country, right? And if you make a dollar, a penny saved is a penny earned. And, if you can stretch that dollar, the farther you can stretch it, the better. But I think part of that reality of work hard is also play hard. And I think the value for a fan who wants to go to a Winnipeg Goldeyes game, the baseball, or they want to go to a Winnipeg Seabears game in the Canadian Elite Basketball League, or they want to go to a Bombers game or a Jets game, it becomes a whole day event. And it's something that the family from very young to very old can all enjoy. So, a lot of people say, well, they don't have the corporate support. The Winnipeg Jets can't sell out games. And then they got back to selling out games on their way to winning the President's Trophy for the first time in franchise history and sold out all the playoff games, of course. But part of that is, people spend their money where they think they can get the most value. And for what the Jets bring, for what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers bring, it brings a lot of value for their dollar. So, business is good.
Darren Bombing joining us, Bonfire Sports in Winnipeg, writes for the Jets, NHL.com. Let's talk to about the two teams, though, the Jets and the Bombers. First off, Bombers, first loss of the season. Zach Collaros coughs up some beauties for the Calgary Stampeders. Cause for concern or a blip in the radar for the Bombers?
Yeah, I've been asked this a couple times over the weekend, right? I don't see it as a cause for concern. The Calgary Stampeders lost their first game of the season a couple weeks ago. Crummy weather game at home against Ottawa. They then had a bye, and then they host the first annual Stampede Bowl. The Stampeders and the Blue Bombers always play very hard-nosed, close football games. Mike O'Shea, all-time in coaching the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, is 13-13 against the Calgary Stampeders.
Oh,
last
wow.
year, the Stampeders, beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Yeah, they had an 0-4 start, but these teams trade wins and losses all the time. So no surprise that the Stampeders captured a win against a team that was 3-0. Now the Blue Bombers have a bye following their first loss of the season. The exact same situation Calgary was in a week ago. And the Stampeders have to go into Regina this weekend, play for first place against an undefeated team and a tough place to play at Mosaic, and then travel to Winnipeg and play in a stadium that's, arguably an even more difficult place to play for opposing CFL teams. So no cause for concern. Huge, huge mistakes made on special teams, defense, and maybe most notably and most impactful in the game was those two long back-breaking pick sixes that Zach Collaros threw. But he threw for nearly 300 yards. Had a handful of receivers catch double-digit passes or have double-digit targets. They put together a lot of long, consistent drives, but they settled for field goals or they turned the ball over and put points on the Calgary Stampeders scoreboard for the Stamps. So if you're a 70% quarterback and you throw for nearly 300 yards, but you turn it over like that, you're going to lose. But I don't think there's any concern right now or major cause for concern for the Blue Bombers. They're a very good football team. And, guys, I've been saying it since before training camp. I feel like the roster the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have today is better, deeper, more talented than it was a year ago, and that was a team that went to a fifth straight Grey Cup.
Darren, let's focus on something that the Jet fans are really excited about. Jonathan Toews, hometown boy, he comes home. Is that something that the fan base is excited about?
Oh, no question. People are over the moon that Jonathan Toews is back. We got to remember, like, this is probably, there's Terry Sawchuk, right? We know the legend that he was is the shutout king in the National Hockey League for decades, right? In his illustrious career way back when, like nearly 100 years ago now, right? Like 80 years ago. But after Terry Sawchuk, the most decorated professional hockey player or hockey player period in the history of this city as a product is Jonathan Toews. Three Stanley Cups, two gold medals, all those World Junior Championships, heroic, captain serious, leader, Conn Smythe winner. He's really earned it all. 2 years outside of hockey leaves a huge question mark, of course. But I don't think Jonathan Toews is somebody who thinks, well, I'm going to take another kick at the can and just, you know, see how it goes. If he is willing to return at the age of 37, after 2 years outside of hockey, while he got, you know, a couple chronic illnesses in check, did a detox over a matter of months, you know, in rural India, detoxing his body, his mind, his spirit, like an incredible story of his return to health after battling a handful of different things. I don't think this is on a whim. I think that he is somebody that is pretty sure between, you know, to a man, to himself, that he is ready to make a return to professional hockey. To do it in your hometown is outstanding. You know, when they introduced him here in Winnipeg at a very well-attended press conference and big event at the rink downtown, first thing he said when he sat down, "Hi, Mom." I think it's a special, important thing for Toews to do this in his hometown in front of friends and family. And for the Winnipeg Jets, they're going to be without Adam Lowry, who's the center on probably the best third line in the National Hockey League. He had hip surgery. He's going to be out until November or December. So I think Toews is, at least in the early going, a nice kind of plug-and-play centerman the Winnipeg Jets can use. But, you know, I think people's expectations of, you know, him being a point-per-game guy or something like that, I don't think that's something people have. But a great addition, I think, both culture and, you know, on the ice for the Winnipeg Jets.
I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, they could use the goals after Nick Ehlers wheels to Carolina, right? Yeah. So we'll see what it looks like with Jonathan Toews back in the NHL and with his hometown Jets. Darren, always appreciate you taking the time for us. Have a great bye week.
You too, guys. Good talking to you.
That is Darren Bombing, Bonfire Sports in Winnipeg. You can catch their pre-post-game stuff with the Bombers, of course. He alongside with the great Chris Walby. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We're going to dig into Luke Wilson's fan power rankings, who he has number one and who he has number nine next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. We're going to dig into fan rankings in the Canadian Football League. Luke Wilson from TSN, he's created quite a stir around the Canadian Football League the last couple of weeks, you remember?
I think it's a good thing.
Hot garbage, he called the Ryder game against Toronto from a few weeks ago.
The attention is good. I have issues with the execution.
But the fan rankings, he did fan rankings. Then I engaged with it saying, okay, let's do it. I put Saskatchewan 1, Winnipeg 2, then everybody else lower down, Toronto 9. That created a bit of a stir. Bomber fans did not like it that I had the Bombers fans ranked second behind Ryder fans. And I think, Locker, I have a pretty good argument on why Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans still deserve the number one spot
for
fans in the Canadian Football League. And don't cite me with your sellouts. I'm sorry. When you're drawn on 800,000 people in a city area, compared to 250, you better be getting sellouts in Winnipeg.
And I have a theory that's not sellout related either.
So we're going to give you our fan rankings, and you can tell us. Maybe we're full of it. Maybe Winnipeg does have the best fans, and we just have to accept that. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Trevor Harris is back. He's ready to go against the Calgary Stampeders on Friday night. Just about cleared concussion protocol before the BC Lion game that he did miss, and Jake Mayer had to start that one. Now, meanwhile, you also have the Toronto Blue Jays back at it in Chicago against the White Sox, trying to win their ninth straight game. And WHL news of note, Gavin McKenna, the young standout Medicine Hat Tiger, went to the Memorial Cup. Well, he looks like he's heading to university as the 17-year-old. Rumors are will officially declare that he'll be going to Penn State with the rule changes that allow CHL players to go to NCAA schools. Coming up next, who does have the best fans in the CFL? Let us know now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, over the weekend, final show, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath.
I interviewed the band back in 2013 for the 13th release when they came back. And I flew down to Los Angeles and hung out with Geezer and Ozzy and did a world album premiere for Canada. And Ozzy is... Yeah, he's different. He skates on a different pond.
Was Sharon there?
Sharon was there, yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing is when you have them, the two of them in the room, they can't figure out who gets to talk more. So they both just talk incessantly. You can't understand a word. Ozzy had his medication pretty worked out okay. So he was fairly coherent, but... you can't understand him. If you're in another room, you're not picking up what he's saying. And Geezer's really smart and very thoughtful and a little cynical and just sits there and just snickers at the whole thing. Yeah, that was an interesting day, I'll tell you that.
Music history made over.
That's a great band.
The weekend.
That's a band you sit your kids down and go, now this is rock and roll. Now sit down and listen. Paranoid. Spend a minute with it. None of this Taylor Swift stuff. Whew. Anyway.
Calm down.
It's all good. It's all good.
Careful now. Let's not get this off the rails here on a Monday. We're talking best fans in the Canadian Football League as Luke Wilson of TSN sparked another interesting debate, bringing up his rankings. When it comes to the CFL fan base. And he says, present day, not historic. Let's start at the bottom and work our way up, shall we? Number 9, the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And this is where this all started. Because he was doing the Hamilton-Toronto game. And he was ticked off that not enough Hamilton fans drove up to QEW to go watch that game at BMO with Bo Levi Mitchell and Kenny Lawler. He was like, come on, where are the Hamilton fans? It's 45 minutes away. Show up for your team. What are you doing?
He was also complaining that too many of them were drinking in the concourse. so funny.
Well, that is the Hamilton thing with the fans
well,
there.
I was
although
they're
in the concourse. They're in the concourse drinking. You hear it in Saskatchewan, too. They're not actually in the seats. They're in the concourse drinking. No. Not really. So, number 8. Now, I have this team at number 9, but that's the Toronto Argonauts. you're in a city that big and you can only get 12,000 people to your games. My goodness. What are you doing? Seriously.
So I have a question for, like, right out of the gates, we can maybe question this based on the fact that I always thought that Hamilton Tiger Cat fans were better than Argo fans.
Absolutely they are.
So that's a perception. I've never been there, but I thought they always loved football more than they do in Toronto. So that's one issue that a lot of people are having with Luke's list.
Number 7, Edmonton Elks. From a name change to brutal on-field outcomes to bloodbath in Edmonton. What was once a crown jewel is now the poster child of what numpties, that's a term he uses for people who don't agree with him, do for the league. I respect the fans that have stuck it through, though.
Can I bring up something about this list? Because we're going to get into it, and you can text us your thoughts on this, on the best fans in the CFL. I have an issue. If you read his whole tweet, he tends to, the fans that come after him or disagree with him, he's using that in this ranking. And I don't think you should do that. Right, like, if you're going to make a list about the best fans, just because they don't like you, shouldn't.
See, and this is why this list, I disagree with it, is I agree with my list. Number 9 is Toronto. Then you have everybody else in a tie from 3 through 8. And then you have Saskatchewan and Winnipeg at number 1 and number 2. That you're not going to be able to tell me there's a difference between a Stamps fan base and the BC Lions fan base, or the Elks fan base right now, or the Red Blacks fan base. Montreal might be 3 the way they're doing, they're going.
I was going to say Montreal, and I would say that I think the Lions have been made a case.
That's an organization. Now, if we want to do a ranking on organization,
but the fans are coming
BC
out.
BC might be at the top on what Amar Doman's doing with the BC Lions.
And depending
on the fan base, on the fans, and the support they're getting.
Depending on how you weight attendance, right? Mm-hmm. And he said this is current history, not past history. That's what he said at the beginning of it. I think you could give a bit of a bump to the BC Lions. No?
He has them at 4.
He has them at 4.
Montreal, 3. Then he's got the Rough Riders at 2. He admits you're probably going to be mad at him. He'd be a number 2, but it's a tight race with Winnipeg. Saskatchewan seems like the dream. The province as a whole doing a tremendous job with the sport of football from a grassroots level all the way up. And he says the reasons are among those in a slight drop in attendance and sellouts.
Well, and he's upset at some people that are coming after him online, right? Like, and I don't know if that's fair to hold an entire franchise and a fan base, you know, to downplay them based on a couple of guys that came after you on Twitter.
Like, although he does say local media seems really solid. I agree with that, Luke. I appreciate that. Thanks for the recognition. Number 1, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, sellout after sellout after sellout for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So we're asking you, if you're ranking the fans of the CFL, do you feel Saskatchewan should be number 1? Or because of all the sellouts in Winnipeg, it's the Bombers. David, what do you think?
Well, I think it depends how you look at it. If you're just going to look at it by attendance, then yeah, Winnipeg's definitely number 1. There's nobody can argue that, I don't think. But I think Saskatchewan has probably overall got more fans throughout the country, throughout the province, even throughout the world that never go to a game, you know, that can't go to a game. Like, I think their fans, like people say the fan base has deteriorated in Saskatchewan. No, the fan base hasn't deteriorated. All that deteriorated is people that go and they are still in front of their TVs watching, cheering, buying merchandise, buying 50-50s, all that stuff. There's just fewer fans in attendance.
Well,
and they've got 250,000 people compared to, say, Winnipeg, 800,000. So I think if you look at it that way, I think the fan base of the Rough Riders is still number 1. But if you're just going to look at it by attendance, yeah, then you have to give it to Winnipeg. Like, for myself, I had season tickets for 12 years through the 2000s, right up to 2022 when I gave them up. And I haven't went to a game now for going on three years, but I haven't missed a game on TV. I have bought my merchandise. I buy my 50-50s. Mm-hmm. And I cheer for this team just as much from my couch as I do when I'm in the stadium. So, and I think there's lots of people like that. So.
Well, David, and he says, and he asked the question, I'm not sure why that is on the lack of sellouts and attendance. And this is why I believe you, Saskatchewan Rider fans, are still number one. And it's attendance, it's population base. Everybody says, oh, well, like Farhan Lalji responded to me saying, come on, there is sellouts after sellouts, and now it's not that. So that's the expectation was Saskatchewan's supposed to sell out every game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, even on the Green Zone, started to feel that. Like, oh, it should be a sellout every game. But look at Winnipeg. Population just under 800,000. I think it's 778,000.
Surrounding area, they're in very close to a million.
Yeah. That's the population of this entire province. Like, Regina area. How far out do you want to go that's a reasonable ask? Moose Jaw? 45 minutes away from the stadium?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people will look at Saskatoon. If you move Saskatoon, we're going to pick up Saskatoon, we're going to walk it down Highway 11 and plop it where Pilot Butte is. This stadium needs to be 40,000 seats, not 33,000.
Yeah.
And that's what my issue is. Winnipeg is drawing on such a huge population. It's three Reginas in Winnipeg. Like, yes, and they're winning. Yes, sure. But I think Saskatchewan, for that, 10 years or so where it was sellout after sellout, and remember those sellouts, some of them were 28,000. Like, what we're getting now would almost be a sellout at the old stadium. So give yourselves a break a little bit on comparing yourselves to Winnipeg. Yes, congratulations, Winnipeg. You're getting the sellouts. Good on you. You better. You've been to five straight Grey Cups. Like, that's what we're taught. When the Riders went to 4-7, that's when we had consistent sellouts. But the price of gas 10 years ago when we were selling things out and that the Highway 11 was jammed with Saskatoon people going to Regina.
Yeah.
What was gas back then? 75 cents a liter? Now it's double that.
Well,
how much was a beer at the old stadium?
Yeah.
$5 a pill?
For me,
now you're looking at 12.
For me, my observation of this fan base starts with having spent 6 years in Winnipeg from 2000 to 2006. So, and we didn't buy season tickets for the Blue Bombers, but we went to a lot of games. And the team was doing okay. It wasn't just like killing it like it is now. They were making the playoffs every once in a while, but they weren't dominating. And the building was fun, and it was great, and it was great support, and the fan base was there. And then in Edmonton for 18 years, we would buy season's tickets, and I probably had, I think, five or six seasons we had season tickets in Edmonton for the Eskimos and the Elks. And now that we're here, my, like, going to a handful of games when we got here last year, and my observation comes from going to games in Edmonton when the Rough Riders were in town. And there was no fan base that compared in Edmonton to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Guaranteed, there was just as many Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans as Elks fans in the state and the stands, and the games were fun. They were way more. We didn't miss Rough Rider games because those were the funnest games.
What about when Winnipeg showed up?
Winnipeg has its fans, and they would go, but not even remotely as many as Rough Rider fans. So I understand what Luke's saying, and I get it, but I'm telling you right now, the support that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders get outside of this market makes them the number one fan base in the CFL, in my opinion.
Barry, you think we have to concede number one? Why?
Well, I think the bottom line is that the fan base in Saskatchewan is aging. we do have a strong fan base that watch the games, that maybe attend the games when it's in other cities and so on and so forth. But Winnipeg, by far, and let's face it, they've done a better job over the last 5 years of building their team, promoting their team than the Riders have. And the Riders fan base is aging and not getting younger. And I think that's a huge concern. And if you look at the fan base in Edmonton, they don't have a fan base because there's no one going to the games.
So that's sad what's happened in Edmonton
it's
over the last.
It's really bad.
Because I remember the day when they hit 29,000. 29,000. There was a game against Montreal, and the attendance came out, and we got the attendance. And we're like, whew, below 30,000? What's going on? I remember on the radio, we had, what's going on with the attendance in Edmonton? We're 29,000?
They're lucky to get 10 now, I think.
I know. And that's how even more it's dropped. But, Barry, I hear you. If you just go on bums in the seats, there's no question who should be number one. But I think there's way more to it than that on best fans in the CFL. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, let's get back to the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. Grant, do you think Saskatchewan should still be number one when it comes to best fans?
Indeed.
Why is that?
It has nothing to do with the seat, the people in the seat. I mean, we're a province-wide fan base. I was many years ago at a Calgary game playing against Edmonton. And I counted way more Saskatchewan fans wearing the jerseys in the crowd than there was Edmonton fans at that game.
Yeah.
And the only thing really that's been harming us attendance-wise, a lot of times is the way the schedule was set up. It was against us in the first place. You got a lot of Thursday games.
Better schedule this year.
Night, Saturday games. This year's good, but I'm talking the past.
Yeah.
So to drive all the way up from farther than Saskatoon down there and to be back that night, you know, without having to stay in a hotel room, it's just too hard.
And that's just it, Grant. Like
sleep in the truck, Grant.
That's what you're going to have to do, right? And nobody wants to do that, especially now. You can just stay at home and watch the game on TSN. But it's a gate-driven league. They need people to go to games in the Canadian Football League and not stay at home. And I think the radius of where you can draw from now is shrinking because just the price of life and gas and everything else.
The cost of living.
So this expectation that the Riders are going to draw an extra 10,000 from out of town every game.
Everything's going up. It's not just beer at the stadium. Everything's going up.
I think the expectation's way too high. Let's get to the one-minute drill, the latest in sports. Trevor Harris looks like he'll be good to go on Friday night against the Calgary Stampeders. He was back at practice, as were the Riders today. And the Blue Jays going for a ninth straight win. They are in Chicago against the White Sox. Belton Johnson joins us next to get you set for a clash at the top of the West with the Stamps and the Riders next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.